And welcome back to This Week in Wildcats Football. It is a cold and cloudy week here in Marion, but it's all smiles in the Wildcats locker room. We're in week 7 of the Mid-States Football Association's 2024 regular season, and the Wildcats return for homecoming week at Indiana Wesleyan after steamrolling the number 10 ranked Knights of Marion University. We'll get into all that today, plus we'll get to hear from head coach Andrew Rohde. With that, I'm Gannon Parker, and it's great to be here in the studio today, and I'm glad you are here as well. The Wildcats went on the road into a hostile Marion environment and methodically destroyed the number 10 ranked Knights by a score of 77-21. Kyle Antoine had another impressive day, tossing 4 touchdowns to no interceptions. This was the third strength ranked opponent the Wildcats have played. In those 3 games, the Wildcats have outscored their opponents by a combined score of 154-31. The Wildcats remain at the number 3 spot of the latest NAIA rankings. Before we get into that, let's take a look at the scores and standings from across the MSFA after Saturday's action. A bit of a lighter week in the MSFA this week. Only 3 games took place. Indiana Wesleyan beat Marion by a score of 77-21. St. Xavier of Illinois beat Defiance College 45-14. And St. Francis, Indiana dominates Lawrence Tech by a score of 77-14. Looking at the standings, first we'll start in the Midwest League. The Knights of Marion pick up their first loss of the year. They are at 4-1. Same with St. Francis, Illinois, also at 4-1. St. Francis of Indiana and St. Xavier both at 4-2. Olivet Nazarene is now 3-2, and Judson sits at the bottom at 1-4. Moving over to the Mideast League, the Indiana Wesleyan Wildcats sit atop at 6-1. The Trojans of Taylor not far behind at 5-1. Concordia and Defiance College both at 2-4. Lawrence Tech at 1-4. Siena Heights at 1-5. And Madonna remains winless at 0-6. Those are your standings across the MSFA. So the Wildcats have an impressive victory over the Knights of Marion. They win 77-21 in an environment which is usually pretty hostile going down to Indianapolis. And last week, boy, I was really wrong about just about everything about how the game would go. I anticipated a much closer ball game. This is the largest victory that the Wildcats have ever had over the Knights. So whatever could go wrong in my predictions kind of went wrong, aside from the fact that the Wildcats won, which I guess is the most important thing. Quick scoring summary. In the first quarter, Ryan Whitwell tacked on a 1-yard touchdown run to open up the scoring. Then Keegan LaBelle for the Knights had a 4-yard touchdown run, and then it was Wildcats the rest of the way. Ryan Whitwell caught a 4-yard touchdown pass from Kyle Antoine. Caden Curry had a 43-yard touchdown pass from Kyle Antoine. Moving over into the second quarter, Roosevelt Cage got involved in the action with a 2-yard touchdown run. Ryan Whitwell had another 1-yard touchdown run. Roosevelt Cage with a 2-yard touchdown run again. And then Miles Cox had a 37-yard touchdown pass from Kyle Antoine as time expired in the first half. Moving over to the third quarter, Levi Tidwell got involved as well with a 25-yard touchdown pass from Kyle Antoine. Elijah Gibbs had an 8-yard touchdown run. Marion had Tristan Polk run it in for 1 yard. Blake Brumball, 19-yard touchdown pass from Arjun Lothe. Brock Short had a 73-yard touchdown run before the Knights scored with 37 seconds to go. Charles Vaden, a 21-yard touchdown pass from Ben Schoster. That was your scoring summary from the Wildcats' victory over the Knights. Some stats from the game. The Wildcats had 35 first downs to the Knights, 28. 16 of the 35 were on the ground, 18 through the air, and 1 was aided by penalty for the Knights. Once again, 28 total first downs, 10 on the ground, 14 through the air, and 4 were given up by penalty. So the Wildcats continue to be at a deficit in that category. Rushing yards, the Wildcats racked up 355 yards on the ground, the Knights 107. The Wildcats only attempted to rush the ball 30 times, the Knights attempted 40, so a huge disparaging stat right there. Average per rush was 11.8 for the Wildcats, just 2.7 for the Knights. Passing, 387 for the Wildcats to just 256 from the Knights. So if you look at total offense, 742 yards to 363 on the day. Looking over some individual stats, Kyle Antoine went 20 of 25 for 302 yards for 4 passing touchdowns, no interceptions. He was not sacked once. His longest pass was 43 yards. Arjun Lothe was able to get in the game. He went 10 for 11, 85 yards and a touchdown. His longest was 21. For Wildcats rushing, Ryan Whitwell, 12 attempts for 153 yards, 2 touchdowns. His longest was 47. Roosevelt Cage, 11 attempts for 117 yards, 2 touchdowns. His longest was 58. And Brock Short, 3 attempts, 80 yards for 1 touchdown. His longest was 73, which was that house call. Elijah Gibbs, 4 attempts for 5 yards and a touchdown. His longest was 8. He did lose yards on a couple other attempts. Receiving for the Wildcats, Isaac Smith led the way in yards. 6 receptions for 94 yards, no touchdowns. Levi Tidwell, 5 receptions for 72 and a score. Miles Cox, 3 receptions for 54 yards and a touchdown as well. And Caden Curry, 1 catch for 43 yards and a touchdown. Looking over at the Knights, Tristan Polk went 20 for 38 for 226 yards and had 2 interceptions. His longest was 44 yards. Wildcats only able to get 2 sacks on the day, both on Polk. Ben Schoster came into the game. He went 2 of 2 for 30 yards and a touchdown. His longest was 21. Rushing, Trey Gibson, 12 attempts for 43 yards, no touchdowns. Allie Richardson, 7 attempts for 29 yards, no touchdowns either. Keegan LaBelle, 14 attempts for just 13 yards and a score. Looking over at receiving, Jake Ricard, 8 catches for 81 yards. Jake Corverstone, 3 receptions for 48 yards. Ben Uren, 1 catch for 25. And then Charles Vaden had 1 reception for 21 yards and a score. For defensive stats, Clayton Mosier had 5 total tackles, 3 assisted, 2 solo. Daniel Shager, 5 total tackles as well, 2 assisted, 3 solo. Brock Thomason, 4 total tackles, 1 assisted, and 3 solo. Luke Bays, 4 tackles as well, 3 assisted, 1 solo. He had an interception that was taken for 3 yards. Also, Brock Thomason, I forgot to mention, also had an interception. He was marked down at the spot of the pick. And then Devin Arevalo, 4 tackles, 2 assisted, and 2 solo. So nothing too stellar from the Wildcats defense in terms of stats. They gave up 21. That's the most points that the Wildcats have given up all season. The previous mark was held by Valparaiso when they scored 20 in the Wildcats' defeat of 20-17. That stat is kind of skewed because by late second quarter, early third, it became apparent that the Wildcats had the game in the bag, so they started putting out their second and then later their third unit guys. So I can't really say that the defense didn't play up to Wildcat standard because a lot of those guys was probably only one of the first or second times that they have been able to see the field so far this season. Offensively, putting up 77 points, no field goals were even attempted. I mean, what do you say as a coach other than, hey guys, great job? I mean, there's nothing else you can really say as a coach going into a locker room. Antoine just seems to have a hold on this Wildcats offense. No disrespect to Xander Stokes. Antoine has played out of his mind, and for a sophomore quarterback, this is his first season as a starter. I have been more than impressed with the way he has been playing, the way he has been able to lead this Wildcat offense, which is filled with veterans. Levi Tidwell, Isaac Smith, Miles Cox, these are guys who have been there for years. They've played their whole careers here. And so to basically be given the keys to the car for Antoine, I think it's just been a perfect marriage of having a young gunslinging quarterback who's willing to go get that extra yard, and he trusts his receivers. It has just been amazing to see. Honestly, though, I was more impressed with rushing. Over 300 yards on the ground. 4 different players were able to find the end zone on the ground. Ryan Whitwell with 2, Roosevelt Cage with 2, Brock Short getting 1, and Elijah Gibbs also getting 1. Like I've said before, this backfield might be the best backfield in the NAIA. Already, I would say it's the best in the Mid-States Football Association. I don't think there's any question about that. But for the Wildcats to have 3, really 4 different guys who could come at you and get yards and fill in those holes if a guy goes down, that's just a testament, A, to the depth of this team, but also the way that these coaches have been able to develop the players throughout the years. And right now, the Wildcats are in a phenomenal position in terms of standings. So they stay at number 3. They knock off number 10, Marion. It was a little surprising that Marion was ranked that high. I still believe that they should have been ranked. I just feel like number 10 was a little high. They were 4-0. They'd beaten some teams barely. All the other games had been one-possession games except for one. They barely beat teams. None of them were ranked. This was the first real test for the Knights, and they just got picked apart by the Wildcats. It was no contest for pretty much the entire ball game. It wasn't even close. You'd say they scored 21 points, but then again, that's second and third unit guys. Not to take away from second and third unit guys, but it was very clear from the start of the game that the Wildcats were the better team, and they proved it. They put up 77 points, weren't even held to a field goal attempt. This was the most points that the Wildcats have scored all season long. They scored 77, and I know I mentioned this stat earlier, but I want to go back to it. In their last three games for the Wildcats, they have played ranked opponents. So that was at University of St. Francis, Illinois, who was number 23 at the time. Then they came home to play number 13, St. Xavier. And then obviously they just went on the road to play Marion, who was ranked number 10. They outscored those three teams by a combined total of 154 points to just 31. That's ridiculous. And I don't want to make a bold statement, but I have to say this is probably the best Wildcat team that this program has ever seen. First year was 2018, so they're a relatively new program. But the way that they have just been able to build this program from the bottom, and now they're number three in all of the NAIA, I mean, it's incredible just to watch. And they have been good every season that I've been here. But this, I can't remember a time where Wildcats were just running over opponents. Yeah, they lost to Valparaiso. That's a D1 team. But you look at all the NAIA teams they've played, all of the just MSFA opponents they've played, they've dominated every single game. The only game that was a one-possession game was the Valparaiso game. Every other game, it hasn't been close. We've gotten to see backups in every single game. Every one. I feel like at this point in the season, it's almost like, all right, how soon are we going to see Arjun Lothe and the backups on offense get in? That really has been the story of every game. They've dominated. Every opponent hasn't even been close. The defense is still playing lights out. I think it's easy for broadcasters or fans to look at the scores and go, man, the offense is just amazing. The defense has been playing just as good. The most points they've allowed was 21. That was against Marion. I mean, what do you do with that as an opposing coach? You say, okay, well, we got Madonna this week, and we should be able to win that one. We got St. Francis, Indiana. That could be tough, depending on it. Oh, we got Indiana Wesleyan the week after. What do you do as a coach? I mean, they are a tough, tough ball club to face, especially if you play them at home. For the Wildcats, they have three out of their last four games are at home. They got Taylor on the 19th. They have a bye week. Then they go back home. They play Concordia. Then they travel to Siena Heights, and then they finish the season at home against Lawrence Tech for Senior Day on November 16th. Last year, they were in a similar situation. They had a pretty easy finish to the season, and then they coughed it up in the final game against Concordia. That cost them seeding. That cost them the MSFA championship. That cost the Wildcats a lot, and I think that's still in the back of their minds. So for them, it really just has to be a one-game-at-a-time season. It's a one-game season for the Wildcats, and right now they're really showing that they're just focusing on one game. Once again, the Wildcats destroying number 10 Marion University by a score of 77-21. So after Saturday's game, several Wildcat players were able to add to their collection of accolades. Luke Bazed earned MSFA Mid-East Defensive Player of the Week with four tackles and an interception. Kyle Antoine earned MSFA Mideast Offensive Player of the Week, going 20 for 25 for 302 yards and four touchdowns. And Josh Clifton earned MSFA Mideast Special Teams Player of the Week after going 9 for 10 on PATs. So the Wildcats take the triple crown for Players of the Week in the Mideast out of the Mid-States Football Association. No surprise, really. They dominated all three facets of the game, and the Wildcats continue to rack up individual accolades every week. A player from the Wildcats, whether it's offense, defense, or special teams, has taken home a Mideast Player of the Week. And that trend continued this week, the most that they have had after a single game this season. So congrats to those three players. Well-deserved on their end. So that was your weekly game recap. Let's move ahead to this week's contest. The Trojans of Taylor University look to exorcise demons of years past, and they're going to have their hands full against arguably the best Wildcat football team in program history. The Trojans sit at 5-1 coming out of their bye week, with their most recent game being a victory against St. Francis of Indiana. This marks the seventh time these teams have faced each other, with the Wildcats leading the all-time series 4-2. After playing Madonna in Week 0, this will be the first MSFA Mideast opponent the Wildcats have faced since then. The remainder of the schedule will be all conference opponents for Indiana Wesleyan. So this ought to be an exciting game. I am more than excited for this one. The Trojans come in at 5-1. This is probably the best Taylor team that the Trojans have had in a number of years. And I'm really excited to be able to get to call this one. This one will be at home, so I'll be in the press box for it. And we'll get into all of that. However, earlier this week, I was able to sit down and catch up with head coach Andrew Rohde to talk about the dominant performance over the highly ranked Marion team, get his thoughts about the way his guys are improving and the challenges that await the Wildcats with the Taylor Trojans coming into town this Saturday afternoon. Here with Wildcats football head coach Andrew Rohde. Coach, coming off an impressive victory against Marion, I guess impressive is a underwhelming word to say it in the least, coming off 77-21 against the number 10 ranked team in the NAIA. How impressed were you with the way you guys performed?
I was really impressed. I mean, I think first off, we had a great week of practice. And I think that's something that this team has done a great job of, is week in and week out, we've had success on most Saturdays. But every week they've come back ready to practice, kind of with a fresh mindset to continue to get better. So they've stayed really hungry. And that, you know, that we saw the same thing last week as we were getting ready for Marion. Obviously, there was a little extra, you know, fire in them in practice just because they were excited about playing Marion. But it was a great week of practice. And then, you know, obviously watching our guys go out and play on Saturday, you know, the offense played well, defense played well, special teams. We kind of felt like it was a complete game, and our guys played complimentary football, which really was it was awesome, because I think it showed what the capacity for this team really is.
You said you're just proud of the way everybody played on all three facets of the game. You guys actually took home the Triple Crown, I guess, in Mideast Players of the Week. Kyle Antoine, you had Josh Clifton, then it was Luke Bays as the defensive side. I mean, doing that every week, it seems like some players taking home a Mideast Player of the Week, whether that's special teams, offense, or defense. Talk to me a little bit about just the growth that you've seen in these players.
I mean, those three players have done a great job for a long time. And I think, you know, when your team wins, your guys get rewarded with awards. And I think those three guys are just representations of what our team is doing. I mean, there's a lot of great guys that have been playing great football. And it just kind of worked out that those guys got the statistics that helped them get the award. But, you know, Luke Bays doesn't do what he does without a great defensive line in front of him and guys covering behind him. And Josh, you know, when you look at the whole operation of what he needs to do, it's like there's a lot of guys that got to do their job, that have to do their job at a really high level for Josh to be able to do his job. And so I think we've just got a team of guys that are really bought into their roles. They're committed to doing what they need to do and doing it at a really high level, which I think has allowed different guys to shine on different weeks. And I think that's why we've been able to get some of those kind of awards, which is pretty cool.
On offense, fall just short of 400 yards on the ground alone. All four running backs able to score. That's Cage, Short, Whitwell, and Gibbs. How impressed, I guess, have you been with the running backs? Obviously, the passing game tends to take a lot of the spotlight with some of the receivers like Smith and Tidwell and Cox, also with Antoine slinging the ball around, breaking several records this year. But with the running game, has that been the forgotten aspect of this offense, despite how lethal it's been against opponents?
I think a little bit. I mean, you know, Ryan and Roosevelt are not like home run hitter. You know, you're not going to see a lot of 75-yard touchdowns out of those guys like you saw out of Tay Williams last year. I mean, he was a very, really, really fast guy. But I think Ryan and Roosevelt particularly they're big, strong, physical backs. They love to run downhill. Our offensive line is playing really well right now, especially in the Marion game. They played great. Our tight ends are really physical on the edge. And so those guys have done a great job. And those two running backs have really helped us stay on schedule on offense. And when you can stay on schedule, it creates a lot of opportunities to be an explosive offense, but to also sustain drives. And so those two guys have You could maybe call him the forgotten part of the offense, because I think, you know, the passing game does get a lot of the spotlight, yet at the same time, they're also one of the foundational pieces of the success of this offense.
The coach riding a 4-game win streak after that loss to Valpo early in September. The past three opponents have been ranked opponents. They've outscored them 154-31 in those three games. I mean, you've got to be pretty proud as a head coach to be able to put up a ton of points offensively, but also on the defensive side of the ball, really just shut opponents down, especially ranked opponents in the NAIA.
Yeah, those were three really good football teams that we played. And I think our guys are starting to understand that we can be a dominant football team when we play really well, and we've got great practices and we're doing all the right things. So it was a fun and exhausting 3-game stretch. I mean, our guys are a little bit tired walking into this week. So we've got a challenge coming against us with Taylor, because Taylor's going to be really up for this game. But again, we're really proud of our offense, defense, special teams, because in a lot of those games, you know, we're playing complementary football, and there's moments where our defense was just holding things together for us while the offense struggled. And there was moments where the offense was rolling and the defense was working through some things. But the fact that, you know, each side of the football has each other's backs and they've done well, I think has been really, really fun to watch and encouraging to see, knowing that, you know, we could potentially have a pretty long season ahead of us.
So, Coach, it's homecoming week. You got the Trojans of Taylor University coming in. This is the first time you'll get to experience that rivalry at home, all the pageantry of homecoming. How do you keep your guys focused amidst all the glitz and glamour of homecoming?
Yeah, I'm excited to see kind of what homecoming against Taylor specifically looks like. I mean, I think it's going to be a great crowd and a great atmosphere. But I think it's pretty easy to keep our guys focused in that it's just, we're watching film today and we're going out to practice, and that's the only thing that matters. And everything else is just kind of extra stuff. And a lot of those things don't really help us win a football game. So getting our guys to just recognize what's most important, what helps us win, and focusing on those things. And really, I think, beyond just the fact that it's homecoming weekend and there's a lot of extra things going on, for the last 8 weeks, there's been a lot of stuff going on every single week with guys' classes, their lives, families back home, girlfriends. Just there's a lot of stuff. And so continually focusing our guys on what's important, what helps us win, I think that's what we've been trying to do for the last few weeks anyways. And this is just another opportunity to focus on the most important things.
So the Trojans coming in, they're 5-1 right now. This is one of the better Trojan teams that we've seen in a while. What kind of challenges does Taylor present to you guys?
Yeah, Coach Mingo, their head coach, has done a really, really great job, not just this year, but really building the program for the last few years. And you can kind of see the fruit of some of his labor and that coaching staff's labor in that they're 5-1 this year. Their offense is one of the top scoring offenses in the country. Their defense, I think, has really found an identity in the last 2 or 3 weeks. As you watch them kind of progress through the season, they're playing really good football on defense right now, and they're holding opponents to pretty minimal scores, especially after the Olivet Nazarene game. That was kind of the last time that they gave up a big chunk of points. And so they're playing really good football right now. They're always creative on special teams. You know, last year they got a fake punt and a fake punt return on us. And so we're excited about this week, but I think it is going to be a challenge. Their offense, they run a lot of option stuff. We don't know exactly who their quarterback is going to be right now, just due to some injuries and some things that they're working through, I'm sure. But I think that also presents a challenge in and of itself, in that there's the unknown, and you haven't seen somebody on film, and you don't know what they can and can't do when they step in the game. And so I'm sure they're going to have a creative plan for us offensively that's already within a challenging system with the whole option rule and all that stuff. And then I think the last thing is they play tough and they play really, really hard. And it's a strong team that won't quit. They won't give up like we've seen some teams do in the last couple weeks. So I think that in and of itself is some of the scariest part of a team is when you know they won't quit regardless of what the score is.
Coach, final question here. You guys are still at number 3 in the NAIA rankings. You guys were in a similar situation last year, ended up as the 6th seed, which hurt your playoff seeding a little bit. How do you keep your guys just on a 1-game mentality, despite the fact that in the Mideast Conference, it's not as great a competition as say, you know, Valparaiso or some of these other teams outside of the Mid-States Football Association?
I think every week we give the respect our opponents deserve to them. And so I don't think we look at, you know, one team as this is better than this team or whatever. All it is we're just playing a team, and that's the only thing that matters. So it doesn't matter if they've played FCS opponents or Division II or Division III or NAIA. It doesn't really matter. It's just this is the team we're playing. This is who they have, and this is our opportunity to go win a football game. And so, you know, besides that, I think every Monday we meet together, we talk about what happened in the Mideast, what happened in the Midwest, and what has happened nationally around the country, and we address all those things. And so we talk about where we're at, what that means, who other teams are playing, if who's winning, who's losing. So we kind of give our guys the general scope of what's happening nationally and what's happening within the Mid-States on the East and West. And then after about that 3-minute conversation of what's happening around the country, we end it right there, and we don't talk about it again, because really we can't control any of those things. But it is important that we address it so that it doesn't linger through the week and it doesn't turn into side conversations. It's just that's the 3 minutes we spend on it, and then we move on, and that's it.
All right. Thank you, Coach.
You bet. Appreciate it.
Once again, that was head football coach Andrew Rohde. Always a pleasure to talk to the coach. All the players that I've talked to, when I ask him about Coach Rohde, they have nothing but great things to say about him. He's a real players coach, and he cares about the players, not just as football players, but as men, and he really cares about growing them on and off the field, and he really is just a pleasure to talk to, and he's done a nice job with this program, inheriting it from Coach Lang, who stepped away a couple years ago, but Rohde has really taken this ball club to a new level, and I'm excited to see what he does in the years to come. Now, moving on to the Trojans. Once again, they're 5-1. Their only loss coming to Marion, actually, it was a 35-34 overtime victory for the Knights. And this is the Trojans' biggest challenge of the year. They haven't played a team that is as good as the Wildcats. The best team that they have played so far, I would say, are the Knights. They came out of that game ranked number 10. But this is a real make-or-break moment for the Trojans to see how far have they come in terms of how bad this program was a few years ago. One of the things that I mentioned earlier is that the Wildcats are 4-2 in the all-time series, and you may be thinking, well, they only lost the first time these two teams met. It was the Wildcats' first ever game back in 2018. In 2021, the Wildcats dominated the Trojans, but there was no official score, and it actually had to be marked as a loss for the Wildcats because they had an ineligible player on their roster, so the Wildcats were forced to forfeit a couple games. So that is why the all-time series is 4-2. Should be 5-1, but I understand why there was a technicality there. So the Wildcats are 4-2 in the all-time series, and they really have just been able to dominate the Trojans ever since that first loss in their home opener in their inaugural season. So the Trojans, they're 5-1. This is going to be a challenge. This is going to be an absolute dogfight. Players to watch. First off, Kyle Stratton was not their starting quarterback coming into this year. It was Damon Hockett. He was the junior quarterback. He got hurt halfway through the season, so now they turn to Kyle Stratton, the freshman. He's completing just over 45% of his passes. He's got 352 yards on the year, 3 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. So you may be thinking, well, why is he a player to watch? Well, just so happens the man who lines up next to him is former Wildcat running back Jamison Chesser. So Chesser spent his first 2 seasons here. Then he transferred to Taylor. I actually had a few classes with him. He's a real great guy. And so it's awesome to see the kinds of things he's doing over there in Upland. However, you really don't want to see him doing it this coming Saturday against the Wildcats. In their most recent win against St. Francis of Indiana, Chesser set a program record for Taylor with 7 total touchdowns. So that's going to be a great matchup to watch, Chesser versus the defense, for a number of reasons. Chesser was a backup running back here for the first couple years, so he played against the defense in scrimmages during defensive drills. So this defense knows him, but he also knows this defense. And there's also some emotional gravitas to this game as well. Chesser wants to show that he was good enough to be a starting running back. He felt like he got gypped by Coach Lang. So now for him to have the opportunity to play his former team, even though Lang's not even the head coach anymore, I think that's just some extra motivation. And anytime you got a hard physical runner like Chesser, have a little bit extra motivation. That is a scary thing to see as a defense. I'm excited to see that matchup. Just looking over some season stats for the Trojans, they're averaging 193 passing yards to 343.8 rushing yards a game. They're averaging over 530 yards a game. They're scoring 50.5 points per game while only allowing 35. So the defense is nothing stellar for the Trojans, but the offense has been electric throughout this entire season. They're allowing 149 rushing yards per game to 314 passing yards allowed. So overall, they're allowing 464 yards of offense to all the teams that they have played. And in terms of offensive firepower, these two teams statistically match up well, with the Wildcats scoring 50.14 points per game. They're only allowing 9.29. So I really think defense is going to be the key factor in this one. I have no doubt that the Wildcat offense will do very similar things that we've seen them do against all the other MSFA opponents. But I would not be surprised if the Trojans are able to put up more than 21 points, which is right now the most the Wildcats defense has allowed all season long. But once again, would not be surprised if the Trojans are able to break that 21-point mark. The Trojans are also unranked. They're 5-1 overall, but they're still not ranked. I'm sure that's lit a fire under some players and coaches' saddles as well. I'm really excited to see this game. I think it's going to be a tremendous dogfight. It's homecoming weekend, so alumni will be there for the Wildcats. Going to be a packed house. Anytime the Wildcats play the Trojans, student sections come out in full force for both teams. Upland is only about 20 to 25 minutes away from Marion, so I have to believe that the opposing benches will be filled, or the opposing stands, excuse me, will be filled with people in purple shirts. This is going to be a great game, and I think this might be one of the best games that we see all regular season for the Wildcats. Kickoff for the Wildcats and Trojans is at 4 p.m. It will be in Marion. Once again, homecoming week. And that's all for this week in Wildcats football.